Well, this has been a hell of a week, huh? You got Jerry Lawler getting arrested, him and his fiance having trouble. You got Roman Reigns, who's 5 weeks away from a title rematch. He gets suspended for a violation of the wellness policy. And then you have this other debacle with ADR and Paige. We're going to get into it all tonight. Pro Wrestling Rewind is right now.
The Pro Wrestling Rewind.
I have no one to envy. I envy you having me to envy.
I really don't care if you agree with me or not. This is the truth.
That's called the power, brother.
Your guiding light through the bad storylines, the murkiness, the poor creative decisions, the power. Andy Knowles here with you, performing hosting duties flawlessly, doing what I was born to do, to host, you doing what you were born to do, and that is to listen. Good evening, my friends, pro wrestling fans and conspiracy theorists all across the seven continents. It is I, one more time around, serving humanity and the pro wrestling radio community simply by showing up. Every week, the Pro Wrestling Rewind. Thanks again for joining us. Oh my goodness, what is all this? What is this on my microphone? What is this? Ladies and gentlemen, for those of you who don't know, it's like hair on the microphone. Ladies, I apologize. I'm just noticing this now. As you know, we are not in our normal broadcast studios. We are still in our temporary location. Would somebody explain this to me? There is hair on this microphone. We're going to have to take this off. Get me another cover for this, please. I don't even want to know how this got here. That's a hell of a, you're 0 for 1 and we're not even 5 minutes into the show. A lot to cover tonight, ladies and gentlemen. WWE police blotter. We're going to be talking about all these suspensions, what's going on, what that means for the WWE. We'll check in with the Bleacher Report articles. We'll try to get to some audio, too. Interesting what happened with Alberto Del Rio and Paige. What they thought was an arrest, one of them being arrested, turned out to be something completely different entirely. If you haven't heard about it, you want to definitely check it out. The latest on the Roman Reigns suspension, those of you who are not aware of what had happened, and you must have been living under a rock if you hadn't heard it, but one day after the WWE from Bleacher Report and Mike Sciarri, one day after the WWE announced the highly anticipated Shield Triple Threat for the Battleground pay-per-view on July 24th, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and the current reigning and defending WWE World Heavyweight Champion Dean Ambrose, it suspended Roman Reigns 30 days for violating the company's talent wellness policy. According to WWE.com, it's the three-time WWE World Heavyweight. Can you believe that he's held this belt three times? Can you it's almost not even worth mentioning, to be perfectly honest with you. That's a slap in the face of guys who have held the world title three times. But I digress. It is his first wellness violations since joining the company. To Reigns' credit, though. Excuse me. I apologize. To Reigns' credit, he did take to the Twitter box and stated that he apologizes. He says, "I apologize to my family, my friends, and fans for my mistake in violating the wellness policy. No excuse. I own it." Okay. That's great that you own it. But you did it. These guys know, these performers, these athletes know very well what they're getting into. If the WWE says that you can't take certain substances, you can't take certain substances. That's all it is. The 31-year-old native of Pensacola, Florida, lost the WWE World title to Rollins on Sunday night before Dean Ambrose successfully cashed in his Money in the Bank contract. We're going to get to that, too. Oh, yeah, we got we got a lot to get to. Roman Reigns subsequently faced Seth Rollins in a number one contenders match, but after the bout ended in a double countout, big surprise, Shane McMahon announced that all three former Shield members would vie for the title, three-way dance rules at Battleground. Now, Battleground is more than 30 days away. The suspension, he says, would leave Reigns absent from nearly the entire buildup. Keeping the triple threat intact is possible, but the WWE could opt for a singles match between Ambrose and Rollins instead, which honestly would kind of make sense. Well, no, yes, Mr. Studio Engineer, yes. Technically, that would be the rematch. But you got to understand, this whole Money in the Bank debacle, this whole farce that is Money in the Bank, really necessitates a three-way dance on this, but we'll get into this in a little bit. Triple H, that would leave the triple threat match between the former members of the Shield on the table for a bigger event, such as SummerSlam, should the WWE still decide that they wanted to pursue that. Now, I know that wasn't all. That wasn't all on the blotter, was there? Oh my goodness, there was so much more. As if things couldn't get any juicier. On June 17th, Mike Sherry reported that WWE Hall of Famer Jerry the King Lawler suspended indefinitely by the WWE after he and his fiancée, Lauren McBride, were arrested and charged with domestic violence early Friday morning in Memphis, Tennessee. The WWE announced that Lawler's ban was in relation to the company's zero tolerance policy on domestic violence. And good for them. Honestly, this is really, I'm glad to see the WWE take a stand on this. This is very positive. The NFL, very similar policy. Glad to see the WWE really hold performers' feet to the fire on this. According to Eric Lipford of WREG in Memphis, the 66-year-old Lawler and 27-year-old McBride, wow, were jailed at roughly 1 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Friday. Lawler accused McBride of scratching him in the face, hitting him with a candle, and kicking him in the groin, all while intoxicated. Let that be a lesson to you, boys and girls. If you're going to be a professional wrestler and you're going to be intoxicated, don't be going and scratching somebody in the face, hitting somebody with a candle, and kicking somebody in the groin, because you're going to get arrested. McBride alleged that Lawler struck her in the head, pushed her, and told her to kill herself after putting an unloaded pistol on a kitchen counter. Lawler said it was McBride who brought the gun into the room. After all the women this guy's been with, Jerry Lawler, got 66, and he's got a 27-year-old fiance. God bless that man. God bless him. You can take a look at their mug shots. That just Lawler looks like he's having a grand old time, doesn't he? Lawler looks like he's like the crazy uncle. He's like the crazy uncle at the Christmas party, is Jerry the King Lawler. Seriously. When, I love this part. He says, quote, "When she drinks, we get into a little bit of a shouting match, and then she wants to leave," Lawler said to Action News 5. "I was not going to let her leave in the car because she was not in any condition to drive. She got more and more upset. It's an unfortunate situation as a result of someone drinking too much. I'm saddened by it and hope we can get past this." Okay. Let me finish this up. Lawler, color commentator for SmackDown alongside the great Mauro Ranallo. The absolutely fantastic Mauro Ranallo. And some other guy named Byron Saxton. He also serves on the pre-show panel for WWE pay-per-views. Lawler broke into the wrestling business, of course, as an in-ring performer in 1970, went on to win more than 100 championships during his career, best known for his 82 feud with Andy Kaufman that blurred the lines between what was legitimate and what was staged in pro wrestling. He has been with the, can you believe this, been with the WWE now 24 years. Signed in 1992, been with the company 24 years, acting primarily as an announcer, but wrestling at times as well. And, of course, he's a former WWE Hall of Famer. Now, all right. Here's the thing. Oh, by the way, if you're wondering where T is tonight, he is on assignment tonight. He's on special assignment tonight. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what he is doing next week. But the Power Andy Knowles going solo tonight. It wouldn't be my first time. This was a solo show before we had co-hosts. It wasn't that long ago either, when you think about it. The WWE now has a problem. Because now they have set themselves up for something that they can't back up from. Adam Rose had his domestic violence incident recently removed from the court, adjourned. He is no longer with the company. Why has the WWE not taken a similar stance on this? And the answer, ladies and gentlemen, is in the paragraph. When she drinks, we get into a little bit of a shouting match, and then she wants to leave. Now, if you believe Jerry Lawler, he was trying to stop her from driving drunk. But it's not funny, to be honest with you. I'm not laughing at the situation as so much as the irony of the situation. There are people that are calling for Lawler's head. There are people out there in the community that is understandably anti-domestic violence. Nobody wants to see a woman get hit. Nobody wants to see a guy get hit in a domestic. Unfortunately, it happens far too much in our society. It happens far too much. My parents. It happens far too much in this society where you see these unfortunate situations unfold. And then you're left trying to make heads or tails of it. And I think the reason why the WWE has not, and some would say to their credit, has not pulled the trigger on firing Lawler entirely is because of the basis of the circumstances that he went and reported to the news. Now, Lawler's a smart guy. He's been around a very long time. You don't get to be in his type of a position without being able to sidestep a few pro wrestling landmines. Now, you can choose to believe Lawler or not. If you go back to the beginning of the story, he said that, or I should say McBride said, his fiance said, that Lawler struck her in the head, pushed her, and told her to kill herself. Now, one could infer from her intoxicated state that the killing of herself may have pertained to the fact that Lawler didn't want her to get into the car and drive away so she doesn't get into an accident and could potentially kill herself. We don't know. But knowing the situation, one could certainly infer that. The gun is a whole other matter. That's going to be a tough one to get away from. Very difficult. Right to bear arms notwithstanding, and I know that, that gun lobby, they're loving it. Uh-oh, here's another domestic violence incident with a gun. It was the gun's fault. Fortunately, the gun was not used. However, there are a lot of loose ends in this story that could go very, very bad for Jerry the King Lawler very quickly. I would, seriously, it would behoove him to distance himself from this situation. I sometimes wonder, pro wrestlers have got to be, excuse me for just a moment, pro wrestlers have got to be some of the loneliest people on the planet. It is no wonder. No wonder at all why so many professional wrestlers tend to gravitate towards each other because of the camaraderie, the bond. You travel together, you eat together, you train together, you know each other intimately. I'm leading up into ADR and Paige. Stop. Plenty of time still in this segment. But to really look at this logically, if the WWE is going to have a policy that says if you violate the wellness policy, you're suspended, you keep violating it, you're gone. If they have a zero tolerance policy on domestic violence and it turns out that he did smack her around, he deserves to be gone. I don't think anybody would argue that. But the WWE was so quick to suspend and then fire Adam Rose, and then the court comes back and says, okay, you've done better, we're dismissing the charges. I don't see the WWE giving Adam Rose his job back. I don't see him giving him his spot back. Now, is this situation because Jerry the King Lawler is a much more popular, more recognized individual? 24 years in the company. Adam Rose was barely 24. He was more than 24 months, but that's beside the point. He doesn't have the longevity that Jerry King Lawler has. So, did the WWE take a look at the Adam Rose situation and say, hey, maybe we pulled the trigger too quick on this? Let's give Lawler the benefit of the doubt and then find out. Let's get the facts and then come to it. I would hope that that's the situation. But if it's determined, if it comes to pass that Lawler did in fact strike this woman, and if a gun was involved, even if it was a prop, if a gun was involved, Lawler deserves to be gone. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you set the precedent where you say, okay, you hit your spouse, you're gone, then it only stands to reason that you should not be employed by the WWE. It's really that simple. There were multiple reports coming out of the pay-per-view as to what happened with Alberto Del Rio and Paige. Multiple reports, starting with the report that we had from Joseph Zucker indicating the situation from the Pro Wrestling Sheet. Ryan Satin of Pro Wrestling Sheet, who cited law enforcement officials, indicating that Paige had been detained and hospitalized Sunday night. The unconfirmed reports were that Paige was arguing with Del Rio. Now, it later came out, and you know, and this is where things get a little bit crazy. It turns out that was not the case. First, does anybody find this pairing, just before I continue, does anybody else find this just a tad bit odd? The two of them. You know, talk about the odd couple. Actually, Del Rio is a very lucky individual. For those of you who are watching the pay-per-view, he suffered an injury at the pay-per-view. I'm serious. He's very lucky. I'm being asked, you know, what specifically. Well, if you missed it, and obviously you did, and so you need me to communicate this with you, and that's okay. I don't mind doing that. Because after all, I am
a sort of and a bona fide stud, and you can't teach that.
He was competing in the Money in the Bank ladder match, rolled out of the ring, knee injury. I'm seriously hoping it's nothing too serious. I mean, he did work the Tuesday SmackDown event. Man, I'm telling you. These guys got to slow down. Seriously, they need to. It's bordering on crazy. It really is. It is truly, it's getting scary. You got guys getting arrested, guys getting suspended, guys getting injured. But I'm going off on a tangent. I want to get back to this Paige ADR thing. Now, WrestleZone yesterday reported that the two were involved in some kind of argument which might have led to the arrest of Paige outside the Money in the Bank arena. However, WrestleZone confirmed Paige wasn't arrested, but the incident appeared to have been something that had been staged, speculation being that it might have been something filmed for Total Divas. Now, I had seen a report, and I couldn't get it confirmed, but I had seen a report that the two of them were reporting on an incident that had happened outside involving another couple. They were getting heckled by a couple that were bothering them, and they went and reported it to the police, had to report it to WWE after the fact, and that's why the police were there. A lot of speculation on this. You know, here's something for fans to think about. I know there are people out there that aren't huge Alberto Del Rio fans, and that's okay. I'm not a huge Kevin Owens fan, and I have no problem saying that to his face, but I damn sure respect the man's ability as a performer and a professional. I also thought what he did for that youngster the other day was a true class act. And the kid said, "You got to stop cheating." He said, "Well, if I cheat, it's only because I want to win for you." Don't tell me. There isn't a better answer. I couldn't think of anybody that could come up with a better answer for being a heel. Turn somebody's frown upside down. You got to just leave them alone. When wrestlers are out and about and they're just trying to have a life, they're just trying to maybe have a meal, they understand that they're public figures and they get held to a different standard. The majority of them get it. But that doesn't give somebody the right to go up and although you have the right to go up and say something, doesn't mean it is right. You have the right to go and act like an ass doesn't mean you should. You know, hey, you know, Alberto Del Rio, great to meet you. Hey, you know, I don't like your character on television. I don't particularly care for what you do, but you know, I just want to say, I respect what you're doing and keep up the good work. No, man, you suck. Back in the 80s and early 90s, 76, they had to deal with that. And it was a hell of a lot worse back then than it was now. You had guys wanting to stab people. These public figures putting themselves out for your entertainment. Some of them need pills to keep going. Violation of the wellness policy. Some of them are trying to stop spouses from going out and injuring themselves. Suspended for spousal abuse. Some get detained by police because other people are so whacked out of their brains they can't mind their own goddamn business. I want you to think about this. And I'd be very curious. I did get a chance. I did reach out to the Vagabond. What are you laughing at? The guy's an up-and-comer, the Vagabond Ryan Rogan. And I did promise I would reach out to him. I did, and asked him to be on the program. We have a tentatively scheduled, we hope, for next week. We'll bring him on the program, the In Your Face Wrestling New Breed Champion. But one of the questions I'm going to ask him, in relation to what we have seen is how they feel a fan should act or react to them if they are a professional wrestler. What is the etiquette? Because I really think it's like if you went up to the President of the United States and say, hey, yo, how's it going, man? Yo, what's up? Man, you suck, man. You suck. You're doing a terrible job, man. You suck. No. Mr. President, how are you? Nice to meet you. I'm sure that you'd love to tell the President of the United States how much he sucks to his face. But you wouldn't do that. First off, the Secret Service would never let you get near him, and that's beside the point. I think there has to be a healthy level of respect between professional wrestling fans and professional wrestlers. And it goes both ways. Inside that arena, they are there to do a job. They're there to entertain for better or for worse. You, as the fan, have the right inside that arena to react however you want, for better or for worse. And this is something the WWE needs to recognize, is that I buy that ticket. I can go, I can yell at that performer if I want to. I can call them a jerk if I want to. I can have a little sign that says, you know, Ziggy drinks beer if I want to. But outside that arena, it's a whole different story. And I often wonder, I often think, you know, do fans of professional wrestling really truly understand what these folks have to go through on a day-to-day basis, you know, getting to and from the venues? The majority of them are class acts. You in an airport, you know, they'll stop, they'll take a picture, they'll sign an autograph. Guys like Kevin Owens, I have more respect now for Kevin Owens as a human being after hearing about that situation with a little girl, wasn't it? With that little fan saying, if I cheat, it's because I want to win for you. You shouldn't have to cheat. Okay, we get it. But that's beside the point. They're human beings. They need to be treated like human beings outside of the ring. Sponsor this half hour, Evil Seed Sauces. Pat McGill, in case you didn't know, he's doing better. Pat McGill had to go in for emergency surgery. His appendix had ruptured, and he's doing much better now. And you can do better for him by heading on over to the Evil Seed Sauce Company Facebook page and PMing him your best wishes, and maybe getting an order in from Evil Seed Sauces. Tell them what you need. They'll get you squared away on the payment. The best sauces known to man, redefining flavor with refined heat. Barbecue season is upon us. It has arrived. You want the Big Evil Bacon Barbecue. All right? You want the Cirque du Noir. You want the hottest, spiciest barbecue sauces available. Evil Seed Sauces can do that for you. There is only one Evil Seed Sauce Company. Check them out on Facebook, Evil Seed Sauces. Check them out on Twitter, too. Just look for the Evil Seed Sauce Company. They're there. They're everywhere, and they're waiting for you to order right now. Redefining flavor with refined heat. That's evilseedsauces.com. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, we've got the fallout for Money in the Bank and so much more. This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind on the SNS and PIB Radio Network.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Oh, you didn't know? It's me. It's that D-O-double-G, the road dog, Jesse James. And you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck it.
Hey, this is Badass Billy Gunn.
My name is Armando Alejandro Estrada.
Hey, it's Road Radimal. What a rush.
Yo, monkeys, it's me,
DDP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time
world champion. And you, well, you monkey, stay tuned or you will feel.
I am the genius full of glory and renown, Lanny Papa.
What's up, all you stars and stars? This is Mariette.
It's Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Mr. Hall of Fame, 2011, on SNS Radio Network. See ya, and I wouldn't want to be ya.
The world is listening.
What did you expect? This is Drake Evans, and you're listening to Pro Wrestling Rewind on the SNS Network.
Often dignified, how funny changing the tide. It feels like you already knew.
Back on the Pro Wrestling Rewind, the power. Going solo tonight, Tony Mirabella off tonight. Man, oh man, you know what? It was a Money in the Bank for the ages. Absolutely fantastic. I thought a lot of surprises. I knew there was going to be a cash-in when the Money in the Bank pay-per-view, I think a lot of people did. I think when the Money in the Bank match happened before, there was some speculation. The world title match did not start until 10 minutes to 11, but people knew that the WWE had gone to the broadcasters, had gone to the pay-per-view company, said, we need an extra half hour. And they definitely needed a half hour, and good for them. When you factor in the pre-show, when the matches on the pre-show start about 7:20, all right, really think about it. You're getting a four-hour show. When you think, I know it's not 4 hours of wrestling, but you're really getting a four-hour quality show on this. I consider the pay-per-view started on those pre-show matches. Oh, and kudos to the WWE getting Mauro Ranallo involved on those pre-show matches. I think that's fantastic. We had, in case you didn't see the pay-per-view or you haven't read the spoilers, and once again, what the hell's wrong with you? They're all over the place. We had the Golden Truth. Could somebody explain this to me? A tanning failure. Hasn't this been done before? We've seen this before. And if somebody could email me, prowrestlingrewind@yahoo.com. Where did we see this before? Where somebody got a tan. I'm pretty sure it was somewhere on WCW. Someone got a tan so bad and they couldn't wrestle. I'm pretty sure this is not the first time they've done this. But Fandango and Tyler Breeze came out. The makeup artist did a phenomenal job with the burns, I thought. Just an absolutely phenomenal job. Golden Truth winning that match. The fact that they actually had some offense in that match was amazing to me. Really a solid start. Kalisto Sin Cara, the Lucha Dragons, taking on the Dudley Boys. Another great tag match. Lucha Dragons winning by Dragon Bomb. You know, you take a look now at the tag teams in this company, and you really see something special, I think, developing. And kudos to Triple H and Creative. They have really done a great job in bringing some solid teams, to the forefront. And, of course, we got the Fatal Four-Way, the New Day, the Bullet Club, Cass, Big Cass, Enzo Amore, and the Vaudevillains. I was really hoping for the upset on this. I really had hoped that it was going to be Enzo and Cass. It looked like, you know, it looked like for a moment they might pull it off. But once again, the New Day, using the Freebird rule, I hate it. I'm sick of it. I want these guys gone. 2-on-2, if it's 2-on-2, these guys can be beat. They've obviously proven if it's going to be three teams, four teams, they still have the man advantage. New Day coming out on top, retaining the WWE Tag Team Championship. Is it just me? I mean, this lone wolf thing of Baron Corbin, whenever I think of Baron Corbin, I think of that character in the figure skating movie. What was the character in the figure skating movie that Will Ferrell played, and the guy from Napoleon Dynamite? What was the name? That's who I think of when I think of Baron Corbin. Yeah, I know. Not Blade. I know Blades of Steel is a fantastic hockey. Blade. What was it? Blades of Glory. Blades of Glory. That's what it was. And Will Ferrell played a character, Chaz Michael Michaels, wasn't it? Isn't that who he played? Every time I look at Baron Corbin, that's who I think of, is Chaz Michael Michaels. The Lone Wolf. That's what he called himself in the movie. He had that tattoo. And at the end of the movie, he says, I got another tattoo because the Lone Wolf won't be lone anymore. That's who I think of when I see this Baron Corbin. You know, this, and the guy can go. But the Vegas crowd was, did you hear? Oh, my God. They were yelling boring during the whole match. And you gotta feel for Ziggy here. He's, you know, he's turning into the guy forget John Cena getting beat. This is the guy that ends up having to, you know, take it up the anatomy when new talent comes from NXT. But yeah, no surprise, Baron Corbin, Chaz Michael Michaels, the Lone Wolf, getting the end of days for the win. We had, of course, Charlotte Flair and Arn Anderson taking on Natty Neidhart and Becky Lynch. The surprise here, I really thought that this was Natty Neidhart and Becky Lynch's, you know, I was hoping that this would be their night. Because in tag team matches and non-title matches, you can beat a Flair. If you got a Flair, it doesn't matter. You got a Flair in a non-title match or in a tag team match, the chances are you can beat a Flair. It's very difficult to beat any Flair in a title match. But you get them in a tag match where the belt's not on the line, you get them in a non-title match, same thing. You're pretty much guaranteed a win over a Flair. But in this match, Charlotte Flair not only beat Natty Neidhart, but beat her clean with the natural selection. Talk about how the mighty have fallen is Natty Neidhart. What in the hell has happened? I think she realizes it too. I think she gets it. We talk about the situation involving, you know, her and the heel turn. But you had to see the writing on the wall on this. I mean, she was just getting completely eviscerated. Totally eviscerated by the fans. I mean, there were even the hardcore Natty Neidhart fans were turning on her. And she couldn't catch a break from creative to save her life. And she's the one that's training the majority of these girls. WrestlingNews.co had a great article on this. The original plan, they stated, was for her not to turn heel. The original plan was actually for Becky Lynch to turn heel, but for some reason they changed course. They had Natty Neidhart turn heel by having her attack Becky Lynch and then following it up with the backstage incident on Raw. Some people asking if Natty Neidhart is leaving the company when her current contract expires to go and be home with Tyson Kidd, whose career is pretty much over thanks to Samoa Joe. Joe killed Kidd. No direction, no conversation. People close to the situation haven't heard anything. Now they're going to have a focus on Becky Lynch and Natty. I would assume that Natty's gonna put Becky over, but really make her work for it. Charlotte Flair gets Sasha Banks now that she's back. And eventually they're going to have Arn Anderson turn on Charlotte Flair. I can't help it. She is the Arn Anderson. And Anderson fought Flair. So why not do it here? I don't think anybody would have an issue with that. Do you? I certainly wouldn't. No, it's not. It's not a bad idea.
There are only bad options. It's about finding the best one.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
I think a bad idea would have been to put Becky Lynch in the heel position. Natty Neidhart, she's been a heel before. Becky Lynch is much more effective as a face right now. Much more effective. So, once again, you get the new crop of divas really doing a fantastic job here. And at some point, you know, you see it. You know, we've lost the Bellas. Some people would say that's for the better, but they were really coming into their own. You know, you lose Natty Neidhart, you're starting to lose what was the current guard now becoming the old guard. The Great White Hope took on Apollo Crews. So I can hear the boxing analogies now. Yes, yes, taking on Apollo. Adrian.
Yo, Adrian, how you doing?
We got a couple of haters.
How you doing?
Bada boom, realest guys in the room. How you doing?
Yeah, I get it. Okay, stop. Apollo Crews gets a pinfall by Crucifix over the Great White Hope. Another okay match. It was decent. But, once again, they got to have guys put the NXT guys over. Now, John Cena versus AJ Styles was a great match. It was one of, you know what, I hadn't seen, and I had said this, Cena gave a performance that was just as good as the Brock Lesnar match where Cena lost and was fully dominated. It was like that. It was great. AJ Styles had John Cena's number through the majority of the match. The finish was ridiculous. It was not needed. I think we can all agree. Nobody needed the Bullet Club to come down and interfere in the match. It was cheap. It did not in any way help AJ Styles. Yeah, you could say, well, AJ won the match. But to be... Well, WrestleView called it timid booking, and that's exactly what it is. It was timid booking. Now they've got to book the rematch, but they got put it in the cage. Book it, put it in the cage, and keep the Bullet Club out of it. I loved it Monday night. Oh, I want you guys to apologize. We got a 10 minute apology. Money in the Bank, just fantastic. Kevin Owens, so close. so close. Our pick, so close. And it just goes to show that this man, Kevin Owens, is on the precipice of something so great. If he can just continue to maintain the momentum, continue to do what he is doing, he will be an outstanding heel in this company.
Well, I guess that makes our naughty parts tingle.
Yes, it does. Because everybody wants to see... Kevin Owens is turning into the... is turning into the Samoa Joe of the WWE, even though we've got one. We've got a Samoa Joe now. But he's slowly building into that character that Samoa Joe was in TNA, the monster. The only difference here is that this monster's got a mouth. All right, this guy can back up. All right, he can back up what he wants to say. Rusev defending the U.S. title against Titus O'Neil. I thought this was Titus's night. But he came up a little short, forced to tap out to the accolade. That was really a surprise to me. I thought Titus was tougher than that. As big as that man is, Titus O'Neil, tapping to the accolade, and basically anybody is game on that. Titus O'Neil's son's at ringside. Rusev comes out, taunts the sons. Happy Father's Day, everybody, he says. You know, they called it a cool-down match, and that's what it was. You got to feel bad. You know, that match could have been something great, too. That you could have kept the crowd up for a U.S. title match. And once it was nice to see the U.S. title match before the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. It was just like the old days. Remember back the NWA days and you'd have your major secondary title right before your world title run? You'd get your U.S. title match, you get your world tag team title match, you get something big, you know, just to whet your appetite a little bit more for the big one. So we get to about 10 minutes to 11, we go into the world title match. Was anybody else as shocked as I was when Roman Reigns went for the spear and Seth Rollins countered it in midair with a pedigree? Just, damn, man! Rollins kicks in another pedigree, gets the win. So Rollins gets the title back. Now, I thought Rollins was in pretty decent shape. Dean Ambrose comes down and cashes. Finally, I can't stand the Money in the Bank cash-ins. I like Dean Ambrose. But Dean Ambrose could have been a man, but that's not Dean Ambrose did what every other competitor, with the exception of Rob Van Dam, all right, didn't, you know, once again, wanted it cheap. Wanted it fast, came in, took the belt off of Seth Rollins, I'm cashing in. Music plays, Dean Ambrose comes out, nails him with the briefcase. Why not? Go for it. Have fun, knock yourself out. Brand new WWE World Heavyweight Champion Dean Ambrose, good for him. But a fantastic main event between Roman Reigns and Rollins. Better than what I thought. Some people... Yeah, I know. Yes, Cleveland did win. That's what it was. They're saying they did it on the fly. And WrestleView said it too, because the Cavs had won the title about an hour prior. And Dean Ambrose is from Cleveland. But Jason Namico made a great point on WrestleView when he did his review of the pay-per-view. And I got to give him full credit about this. That this really was the resurrection of Dean Ambrose as a player. These are his words. Tonight was about the resurrection of Dean Ambrose as a player in this company, and it was an amazing success. And Ambrose wanting to prove that the title win wasn't a fluke, and all three of them wanting to show who the best member of the Shield is. All three members of the Shield, Sunday night, were at one point the WWE World Heavyweight Champion. There's something to be said for this NXT. There's something to be said for guys that go through that developmental process. They do a phenomenal job. Take a look who they've got. Rusev, your U.S. champion. You've got Charlotte Flair, your women's champion. Now Dean Ambrose, your world heavyweight champion. I'm telling you right now, if I'm The Miz, I'm crabbing. Did anybody even remember that we have an Intercontinental champion? Did anybody even care? Well, tell me, where the hell has he been? Would somebody please tell me where Captain Irrelevant has been? What? Hiding behind his wife. Yeah, exactly. Hiding behind his wife somewhere. Truly pathetic. The Intercontinental Championship should have been at that paper. The champion should have been at that paper. He could have gone into Money in the Bank and had a good ride. We know he can have great Money in the Bank ladder matches. We know he can. Just let the man go in and do it. Let him go in and do it. He does a phenomenal job. Yeah, that was a compliment to The Miz. If look, there are other guys more deserving of the Intercontinental Championship right now. I could think of about a half dozen guys from NXT who would make better. As a matter, and speaking of that, Cruiserweight Classic, September 24th, I believe, is the final, is it not? September 24th. Did you see? First off, they got Mauro Ranallo calling the classic, which the finale, which I think was a brilliant move in the WWE's part. But you see who they got for color commentary? Former WWE World Heavyweight Champion Daniel Bryan. You want to sell your cruiserweights? That's the man that you sell it on. Somebody is walking out. Somebody's going to walk out of that Cruiserweight Classic, a megastar. This has really been a phenomenal. The WWE, to their credit, when it comes to what they have done on the network, this Cruiserweight Classic, one of the phenomenal. Not to use an AJ Styles acronym, but it has been. It has been truly amazing. The WWE needs to do more of this. They can have these global events with the network. You know what I miss? And I'm running out of time in this segment, but I'll tell you one thing I truly do miss is the Jim Crockett Senior Memorial Cup Tag Team Tournament. Growing up in the 80s and in April, that was Crockett Cup season. And you had all these tag teams. Just unbelievable what you'd have. 32 tag teams come in, wrestle in a tournament format. Normally it comes down to two. Road Warriors won the first one. I'll never forget the controversy. Pro Wrestling Illustrated did the rankings. They came out the following year. Wanted to do the rankings, and we're told to do the rankings, but they wanted the Road Warriors number one because they were the defending champions, and the NWA said, no, we want the World Tag Team Champions to be number one. Well, they said, screw you, we're not doing it. But the WWE could put on a tag team classic, a tag team tournament. We just had one. We just had the New Day tournament. No. I want a real, you know what, and you know what else they could, you want to know, I want to have some fun? Bring back a Bunkhouse Stampede. Bring back a Bunkhouse Stampede match. What's a bunkhouse stampede, you may ask? A bunkhouse stampede is you come as you are, guys in jeans and cowboy boots and t-shirts, and it's the battle royal, and they beat the hell out of each other for 15, 20 minutes. But it was a series. It was a series of battle royals, and if you won the most bunkhouse stampedes, then you got a big boot, a big cowboy boot that was the trophy, and how much there was, it was cash too. I can't remember how much cash it was. It was, well, a lot of money, but that's how they booked it. And Dusty Rhodes had won it for so many years. But these are the kind of things that you could bring. They're already, you know, speculation. They were speculating they were going to bring back War Games. Bringing back the Intercontinental title, anything can happen. You know, what's old is new again. Why not do something a little different? Bring back something a little different to this product. You've got no problem. Now, with the brand split, they've already come and they've said, well, look, we're going to bring some of these old guys back. Take a look at some of the guys who are in the Cruiserweight Classic, former SmackDown competitors, Cruiserweight contenders. It can be done. Let Triple H handle it. It can be done, and it can be done properly. A lot more to come here on The Rewind. Don't go anywhere. Final segment coming up. Sponsor this half hour, Evil Seed Sauces, redefining flavor with refined heat. Treat your meat to the best sauces today. Head on over to Facebook, Evil Seed Sauces. Head on over to the Twitter. You can just search for them. Evil Seed Sauces, redefining flavor with refined heat. It's barbecue season. You know what you need. The Big Evil Bacon Barbecue. Come on. How many times do I have to tell you? Treat your meat to the best sauces available. Get it now. Get on over. Evil Seed Sauce Company. Check them out on Facebook. Evil Seed Sauces. When we come back, a lot more to talk about. There's just so many things going on with TNA right now. We cannot go and not talk a little bit about what's happening in TNA. We'll get you set up for we'll get you set up for the brand split. My thoughts on that and much more. It's a Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the PIB and the SNS Radio Network.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Treat your meat with the best barbecue sauces and spicy snacks available from Evil Seed Sauces. The Evil Seed Sauce Company is your home for everything hot. Barbecue sauces, pepper jelly sauces, all things spicy. Try the Gods of Fire, made with the world's hottest pepper, the Carolina Reaper, along with sun-dried tomato, roasted red pepper, lime, and dill. Your meat's going to get all fired up just thinking about it. How about the Cirque du Noir, made with ghost pepper, onion, garlic? Treat your meat to the sauces that are redefining flavor with refined heat. The Evil Seed Sauce Company. Check them out on Facebook at facebook.com/evilseedsauces. Seed Sauces, on Twitter at twitter.com/evilseedsauces, or just head right to their website, evilseedsauces.com. That's evilseedsauces.com. Live good, eat evil, evilseedsauces.com.
Shout to the heart, and you're too late, darling. You give love a bad name.
Andy Knowles was the one that refused to watch WWE because you were Divas Champion.
Oh, we're calling out Andy now.
Andy, I'm so happy I made you so miserable. That's how powerful I am.
And that's funny because his nickname is The Power. So using the word powerful there, fantastic usage, Maya. I will make sure that he hears that snippet.
Serving humanity, performing, that was quick, performing assigned hosting duties flawlessly. Half my brain tied behind my back just to make it fair. The Power, Andy Knowles, Pro Wrestling Rewind. The proverbial bland split. That's right. Is it bland split? Bland spit? My letters are getting mixed up. The brand split taking shape July 19th. The draft to be held. Interesting. We're seeing all these former WWE SmackDown and Raw general pains in the ass, basically what they were. Come on, Teddy Long wasn't so bad, though, was he? I don't think Teddy was that bad. You think Teddy was that bad? I don't think he was. He wasn't. Compared to some of the other ones, he was actually pretty doggone good. But right now they're looking at it. Tuesday, July 19th, 8 o'clock, USA Network. So Johnny, one half the... once again, kudos to Enzo and Big Cass. Seriously, kudos to them both.
And he's 7 foot tall, and you can't teach that.
They come out. I personally, say what you will about John Laurinaitis, okay? But as Johnny Ace and one half the Dynamic Dudes, I love that tag team. That was one, they were just, because they were surfers, and they were fun guys. You know, they come down and they come down on skateboards. They didn't go that far, but you know, it were a fun diversion. And I remember when they first came out and they were winning, and then one pay-per-view and they got buried by Sid Vicious and Dan Spivey. So Enzo and Cass come out and totally allude to the fact that he was one half of the Dynamic Dudes. One of the most underrated tag teams of all time. Maybe the most underrated tag team. Or overrated, I guess you could call it that too. But I know it's not fair to make fun. But you know, didn't she just marry the Bellas? Whose mom was it? It was Bella's mom, wasn't it? Who the hell was it that he just married? I'm sorry, little glitch. Who was it? Who was it that he married? Mr. Producer, help me out on this. Who it was? Kathy Colas, right? That's the Bella's mom. That's yes, and the mother-in-law, Daniel Bryan. Yeah, March 24th. It was this year, wasn't it? They tied the knot. Yeah, March 24th. So, so he comes out and he says he's going to run SmackDown, and then Shane McMahon, thank God, comes out and says, "No, I'm going to run it." And then John goes, "Yeah, that's a great idea. You run SmackDown and I'll run Raw." And they just, this thing with the former general managers coming back, they're setting up. I have no problem. I don't know how you do that draft if you've got Shane McMahon running both. But I don't see anybody complaining. I don't think anybody at all would complain. And anyway, if you're going to have one, if you're going to have two McMahons run it, if you're going to have Shane run one and Stephanie run the other, I would much rather see Shane run Raw and Stephanie run SmackDown. Get the good GM. You're going to have good GM, bad GM. Get the good GM, okay, running Raw and get the bad GM running SmackDown. What do you think's going to, seriously, think about what's going to happen with this brand split? Are you as interested as I am to see where this is going to go? They're going to move it. They're going to move SmackDown to 3 hours. It's going to be live. So you know things are bound to get screwed up, right? The secondary singles championships. I would hope the Intercontinental title stays on Raw and the U.S. title go to SmackDown. There's been no indication as to what's going to happen with the tag team championship. I would assume you're going to have to do a tag team split. You're going to have to do a tag title split. You're going to have a tag team championship for Raw and one for SmackDown again. They've already hinted that you're going to have a champion, a SmackDown men's champion and a SmackDown women's champion. They'll probably bring back, they'll probably bring back the butterfly belt. Put that back on SmackDown. I don't think, as much as we hated it, I really don't see what they could do. You know, they retired it, but they could very easily bring it back. And you've already got WWE World Heavyweight Champion. You cannot call the SmackDown champion the World Heavyweight Champion. You can't call them the WWE champion. If they go with this brand split, what are they going to do? Do the Intercontinental Championship and the United States Championship take the roles of the prominent championships on the brand? That'll never happen. Because then they're going to have to put guys in there that are more top-tier guys and not secondary-level mid-card champions. And then those guys will be fighting over the championship. I'll tell you what I'd love to see. I would love to see, it will never happen, but I would love to see a television champion. But there really is no use for a television champion anymore, not when these belts are being consistently defended on TV. But yeah, what's going to happen? Kurt Angle saying, well, he might come back. A lot of guys, former talent, you know, coming, just, it boggles the imagination. I'm interested. I'm one of the guys who never really cared for the brand split. I was a Raw watcher, and that's all I watched. The only time I ever heard about anything that happened on SmackDown was on a pay-per-view. There wasn't hardly anything on SmackDown that had me interested in watching the product. I really didn't care. Made very little difference to me. But there's a lot. I mean, when you take a look at it now, when you set up for Clash, now they're thinking about doing a Clash of the Champions. When they set up for Night of Champions, if they get that pay-per-view back, Night of Champions. Now, if they have all those championships, then Night of Champions becomes a relevant pay-per-view again. I loved Night of Champions. I loved it when you had every match was a title match. It was beautiful. Nothing but main events. You were guaranteed to have at least one title change. But to the WWE's credit, the majority of the pay-per-views that they have had recently have all featured the champions. They've all featured the current champions on the active roster in one state or another. Thinking about champions, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, as I was saying in the previous segment, we did reach out to the Vagabond, and he's getting back to us. We had hoped to have him on the program tonight. We had hoped to have Ryan Rogan on the program with us tonight. Of course, we only interview champions. Ryan Rogan, for those of you who don't know, is an independent wrestler, part of our Get to Know Your Independent segment. And I met him very briefly at the In Your Face Wrestling event here in Messina. And his character is very unique. He panhandles from the crowd. He brings a backpack to the ring. He has a cup, and he goes and he panhandles, and he asks for money from the crowd. And the crowd gives him money. Couple bucks. It boggles my mind. He even came up to me and said and asked me for money. I'm like, I don't have any. He's like, but you're wearing a suit. So I'm wearing a suit doesn't mean I've got money in it. But he recently, and I want to get him on the program, a little bit of controversy involving the title change, the New Breed Championship, the In Your Face Wrestling New Breed Championship. He had wrestled the former champion, Firework Fox Vineyard, for the championship. Fox Vineyard came out and said, I have not yet seen the match. And in a way, it was kind of good that we didn't get him on tonight because I want to go back and see the match before we talk to him. Little controversy involving the title change. I want to bring Ryan Rogan on to talk about that and what it means to be a champion in the independent promotion, In Your Face Wrestling, and how, you know, the fans really need to be treating professional wrestlers, you know, outside of the arena. We're going to try to get to him next week. So stay on top, keep an eye on the Facebook. All these in-your-face wrestlers, I've said this before. Every single one of them a class act. Shooter Storm, who is rapidly becoming a great friend, not just of the program, of the Pro Wrestling Rewind, but myself personally, heading down to the AWA here in a couple of weeks, and we have asked that he, you know, keep us updated on his progress and some of the things he's going to be doing down there, some promoting work. And he'll be working some dates, too. It, you know, I'm going to go off on a bit of a tangent here. It's been an interesting week, of course. The Higher Power, her birthday yesterday, had a great dinner, great time out. And I really feel for a lot of these wrestlers. And I said it before after the In Your Face event, the In Your Face Wrestling event, and it deserves... it deserves repeating, that these guys, these independent wrestlers, are really making peanuts. And so many of them, you take a look at what happened, you know, this past week with Jerry Lawler and, you know, Roman Reigns and you know, Paige and ADR and all the rest of them. You know, you think you got problems. You know, well, we all have problems. Yeah, I understand that, but these people have problems, and then they have to go out and entertain you. These people have their life problems, and then they got to go and get their brains bashed in for 10, 15, 20, 60 minutes to entertain you. And then after they're done getting beat up, beat around, smashed around, sometimes injured, scraping together a few bucks for gas and food so they can get to the next town, all the while wondering when they can get home to see the kids. And yet here we are complaining, well, because, you know, oh, this match didn't go over, or this person is, you know, doesn't deserve a push. What the hell's wrong with us? Yeah, it's my, well, that's different. It's my job to be critical. It's my job to be critical of the product. That's what I do. That is my job. But I just, I hear so many stories, you know, these guys, I really do truly have so much respect for professional wrestlers and, more important, the independent wrestlers, for what they have to go through and what they have to put up with. And I often wonder if the WWE competitors, and I would hope they do, and I've said this before, I would hope that they respect where they came from and have that same level of humility when they get to the quote-unquote big time. I would hope that they do. You keep waving your hands, Mr. Producer. What's the problem? No, I am not purposely going out of my way to avoid talking about TNA. No, I am purposely not doing that. Seriously. Adam Martin reporting at WrestleView.com that the June 21st Impact Wrestling on Pop drew a massive 304,000 viewers, down from 321,000. That included an initial airing on Tuesday night and then the replay Wednesday night. That's a 0.09 rating, 0.09 rating among adults 18 to 49 on Tuesday, up from a 0.03 last week. And this was with the Hardy Boys inside Six Sides of Steel. Mike Bennett defeated Eddie Edwards to become the new X Division champion. Do I have to? Yes, Jeff Hardy defeated Matt Hardy. God, he looks like the thing with the hair, he looks like a bloody skunk. I just, it's crazy. What is it with these guys? At one time they looked normal. Jeff Hardy looks like the freak of the week, and you got Matt Hardy, for the Star Trek fans out there, Matt Hardy looked like Data did on the very last episode of Star Trek, The Next Generation. Back in 91 or 92 or whenever the hell that was. 92, was it? No, 94. I don't know whenever the hell it was. It was 20 plus years ago. How the hell would I know? Freaking killing me. Braxton Sutter defeated the rock star Spud. And what else do we have? Oh, yeah. Ethan Carter III and Drew Galloway defeating the TNA champion Bobby Lashley and the Global Legends Television King of the Mountain champion Eli Drake. Yeah, that is a thing. Yes. Yeah, I know they've called it the King of the Mountain title for a long time, but they keep changing the name of that belt. So why not just make it all encompassing? You've got the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, which is a combination of the WWE title and the World Heavyweight Champion. So why not combine the red belt? Still a beautiful title trophy. And simply call it what it is. It is the Global Legends Television King of the Mountain Championship. Am I sounding nasally? I think the higher power gave me a cold. I'm very serious. She said that she had been suffering from a cold, and I think now I'm finally starting to get it.
This sucks. And this is all bullshit.
I hate getting colds. I hate getting sick. Period. Just, I can't stand it.
Yay.
There's nothing fun about getting a... You're laughing in there. There's nothing fun about getting a cold because I'm going to be miserable for a week. I'm going to have 2 days... When I get a cold, it always... When I get a cold, it's the same thing. It's 2 days of a sore throat. It's 2.5 to 3 days of a runny, stuffy nose. And then I get 2 days of breathing through one nostril or the other. And then when it's finally all said and done, I get anywhere from once I get over the initial cold and I can start breathing again, then I get a week of nothing but giant snot balls. You know what I'm talking? You're hawking up loogies the size of Jupiter. All right? And spitting them out.
It's in the hole!
I hate getting colds. I hate getting sick, period. Well, Tony's been on that vapor kick. My co-host, Tony Mirabella, been trying to stop smoking. I don't smoke, so I don't know. A cigarette has never touched my lips. In the 45, soon to be 46 years I've been on this planet, I have never smoked a cigarette. Never. I found it disgusting. I had no inkling to. It just never, ever occurred to me. Never tried it. No, seriously.
That is literally the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's not. Will you stop? It's not. There's nothing wrong with that. If you've never smoked, you know, good for you. There are some people that do, and they have an addiction. It's hard for them to quit. So I will give kudos. I'll give kudos to a couple of people. You've got my former Divas On Demand co-host, Harmony, who has been doing the vapor thing for quite a while. God bless her. Hope she's doing well. And now Tony Mirabella is doing this thing too. But if you're doing it, hey, that's no problem. I got no problem with it. It's not my place to judge. I just find it interesting, though, that now in New York State, they're starting to get into regulating that. Those e-cigarettes, you can't. They're regulating them for purchase now. They don't want kids having them. Well, kids walking around, you know, with e-cigarettes. That was only a matter of time, huh? That didn't take long. No, I can't stand getting sick. I really can't. Drives me crazy. What else have we forgotten this week? We got about 10 minutes left. No, I already gave the TNA numbers. What, the Raw numbers? Well, Raw jumped big. If you get a chance, WrestleView, Adam Martin reported June 20th, the average, if you want to compare the two, they had, 304,000 over on TNA, 3.47 million viewers for Monday Night Raw, up from 2.97 viewers the previous week. Still number one on cable despite a lower average of overall viewers. It broke down 3.42 million in the first hour, 3.562 in hour two, 3.42 in the last hour. 1.28 rating among adults 18 to 49, an increase from 0.98 last week. Number two show on cable, trailing Love and Hip Hop Atlanta on VH1. Yeah. Well, the moral of the story, you know what you should do? Because if you take a look at it, you got that triangle effect. They build into hour two and they drop off in three. And I know there's a lot of people that will, they won't turn the set off. They'll keep the DVR on and they'll come back and watch hour three on Tuesday. Because, you know, people got to work on, you know, Tuesday morning. They got to get up early. They're probably going to bed. What's happening at 10 o'clock? So I would make the argument, why not have the main event in hour two? Well, because then it would really drop off. Yeah, I know. Or start the program earlier. Start Raw at 7, go to 10. I'm not advocating it. I'm just saying crazier things have happened. No, I wouldn't classify the Jerry Lawler McBride situation as crazy. That would just be rude. That would be totally, totally rude. Who do I like in the Brock Lesnar fight? Well, it's funny you should ask that, Mr. Producer, because I was talking to Shooter today, and Shooter seems to think that what they need to do is they need to get Brock Lesnar out of that fight, get him back in the ring, and have him win the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. Yeah. you have this stunned, silent look on you. Yes. Wouldn't that make a lot of sense? That would be, I would be down with that. As much as I don't like part-time champions, if he's gonna have a contract and he's gonna wrestle, then I'd say great. Yeah, I know SmackDown was a bit of a letdown, but what were you expecting? SmackDown was definitely the B show this week. Yeah, it's pretty bad when you've got Rusev and for the U.S. title and Zack Ryder, no other champion. They had David Otunga and Dolph Ziggler on commentary. David Otunga. Yeah, get ready for that brand split, boy. It's going to be great. Oh, it's going to be great. But hey, you had Enzo and Big Cass. Come on. Those are our boys.
We got a couple of haters.
I'm not a hater.
Couple haters.
What are you talking about?
Bada boom, realest guys in the room. How you doing?
There you go. How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? That's my boys right there. So get the tag team titles on these guys, please. For the love of all that, would you please put the titles on these guys? Get new title belts while you're at it. There, is there anything else I can be hypercritical of tonight? We'll keep an eye out. Stop. No, I'm not repeating that on the air. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me tonight, wherever you happen to be joining me from. We will be back in 7 days. Hopefully T will be back as well. And we'll get this extravaganza back. We'll talk about what he did next week. Just don't worry about it. All right. Super, super secret stuff. All right. That we would do. All right. He's going to do. Don't worry about it. We got him covered. Anyway, thanks again for joining us wherever you joined us from tonight. As always, boys and girls, remember to take care of the energy inside yourself. After all, that's where your true power lies. And God of radio willing, if the higher power lets me, I'll be back to play with you all again next week, 7 days from now. It is the Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS Radio Network.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Wise men said, just walk this way to the dawn of the night. Wind will blow into your face as the years pass you by. Hear this voice from deep inside. It's the call of your heart. Close your eyes and you will find there's a jot of the dark.